Welcome to Keep It 100 Podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Join us in this space where we take on real issues with real insight and your real inspiration. This podcast is for those not looking for temporary relief to change circumstance, but revelation to forever change lives.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Keep It 100 with Sean and Krista Smith.
It's your boy Sean. What's up everybody?
We are so excited always to be with you guys, the Keep It 100 tribe. And we had an incredible momentum night. This is not our conference, this is our monthly gathering. It's our first one of 2024. We just had it on the 21st or 22nd of March, something like that. So God just moved like powerful and we just saw incredible breakthrough. We literally saw the spirit of death get broken off of many people in the room. There was deliverance. There was freedom. There was the mantling of being a midwife. That's a whole word that I'm carrying right now for the nation of America. And I released that specifically over the Bay Area. And I even prophesied over the Bay, just really believing that the words that have been prophesied over us, the Bay revival and God moving through the Bay Area in a way in which we haven't seen before, we really are in the precipice of that time. And it's really time for us to see that revival that's been prophesied.
And it was so cool because this is our first momentum night after our momentum conference.
Yeah.
February, we just did something at our local church on a healing night. But it was so great to see all these people show up. And we had several hundred people show up.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, this is the beginning of, for many people, their spring break. And so with a lot of, even some of our normal people gone, we had a lot of new visitors. And so it's so awesome. People really got set free. People got ignited. You brought the word. Probably one of the most profound, powerful times I've heard you preach.
Thank
so
you,
many
baby.
People were coming up and people lingered. People hit the altar. People were going out in the power. It was amazing. And yet, even as it was amazing, it's funny because one of the things that you hit upon in your message was just kind of people that are feeling warfare, people that are being hit, people that are feeling resistances, which really goes along with kind of what we're going to speak today. And the reason why we've chosen to speak on this is several reasons. Number one, it's obvious. Wickedness is gradually becoming more of a regular thing in our society. But so is the art of trying to control people against their will. And obviously, that is perhaps the definition and epitome of witchcraft. It's really like this. There are levels to attack. There's levels to blessing. And one of the levels to attack is the enemy. Obviously, he'll try to deceive you. He'll try to lie to you. He'll try to come against your character. He'll try to get you in conflict with people around you. But when all of the little lower level attacks fail, the enemy goes witchcraft. He goes divination on people. And we see examples of that. Obviously, there was a wicked king, Balak. He wanted to curse God's people because they were multiplying and they were having this momentum in the wilderness and occupying. And so he tried to hire this perhaps wannabe prophet Balaam to curse God's people. So you could see where King Balak, whose name means destroyer, he was trying to go witchcraft. So many times when the enemy goes witchcraft on God's people, it's because of a threat. And having said that, I mean, Krista, you know, we've been talking, we've seen so many people that are under unusual attack.
Yeah.
There was even evidence last night by when you had people respond to an altar response or a ministry response.
Yeah, I would say probably about, you know, 85-90% of the people in the room, and I'm probably being conservative. I mean, honestly, it could have been 95% of people in the room. And they responded when I kind of went through the list of what I felt like the Lord shared with me on how you've been attacked, whether it was your mind, whether it was your relationships, whether it was your identity, apathy, complacency. I just kind of went through this list that I felt like was specific for the group as we gathered in the Bay, and majority of the room stood up. And I felt like the Lord says, go after a spirit of death and go after a witch assignment of witchcraft, which we began to go after that in the room, and people massively encountered freedom. I think it's huge because we have to understand there is a battle for revival in the land right now. The principalities that are in places and spaces are not going to give up land easily. So it's not going to come without a fight. And so we can't be surprised at it, but we can't live in fear of it. And I think that's really important. You can't live in fear of warfare, but you also have to be wise to it. And you have to understand, like, we are in a battle. So the enemy is going to come against you. You're not just going to easily have this like breakthrough in your life without this fight. But fight doesn't mean like all this energy and you're like fighting. Fight is, you know, you're standing on God's word. And we'll break that down in a bit, but just really understanding that what we're talking about is being wise to what's coming against you.
Yeah. And we could just see the effects of that. We've talked to a lot of friends of ours. Some of of them are kind of like just the comment, I don't feel like myself, or yeah. others of them, I feel real confused as to what course of action, or I don't know what happened to me. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I let them do that to me? Why did I let them say that to me? Why didn't I call them on that? And a real scripture, kind of as we're talking about this whole aspect, we're answering the question, why does hell go witchcraft on you? Revelation 12:17 says, so the dragon was fierce with the woman, that would be Mary, and obviously offspring would be Jesus. But in our context, it's the church. So the dragon was furious with the church and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep the commands of God and hold firmly to the testimony about Jesus. So Revelation 20:17, the dragon, which is the enemy, the serpent, Satan, he is angry about those who are trying to keep God's command and hold firm to a testimony, because the enemy wants you to fumble your testimony. And the way he does it is that he uses witchcraft.
You know, I think a really good question to ask in the midst of this conversation is, there's people that are maybe new in your faith, you're new in walking with Jesus, or you've come out of different spiritual experiences, but not rooted in Jesus. But now you're discovering your walk with Jesus and you're wondering, well, is witchcraft wrong? And is spiritual encounters wrong? Well, if they are not rooted in Jesus, they are wrong. If they are not rooted in the word of God, they are wrong. And so they're not coming from the right source. So we're talking about sources. We're talking about, obviously, Jesus is our source. And then we're talking about the enemy's the source of the occult and witchcraft. So someone might be asking a question that's listening today, is it a sin to practice witchcraft? Is it a sin to do a Ouija board, to go to a psychic, to consult a medium, to talk to the dead? Like, you know, these are questions in our world today that have become mainstream. And so when things become mainstream as Christians, we have to draw a line so people are really clear, what is the word of God said? So the bottom line and the simple answer to that, is it a sin to practice witchcraft? The answer is yes, absolutely, with a capital Y-E. Yes, absolutely wrong on every level, and sin. And here's why I'll tell you, is because God told the children of Israel not to seek witchcraft because it would defile them spiritually. So, you know, in Leviticus 19:31, it says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord, your God. So to be defiled means to be dirty spiritually. And the consequences of spiritual defilement are that you will be cut off from God.
That is pretty plain. I mean, you really can't play with that, because there's all these Christians say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I do chakras. I believe in Jesus, right, but I'm chanting. I believe in Jesus, but I also want to tie into the ancestral spirits. All of that stuff.
Jesus ain't doing chakras, y'all.
No. And it defiles you. And at the end of the day, it puts out a welcome mat and invites the demons behind the witchcraft to come against you. You know, it's funny. I saw this little phrase, and obviously it was an anti-drug phrase, and it says, the best me is drug free. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, the best me is torment free. And that's the real reason why so many people, the Bible says that we are not ignorant of the devil's schemes. We can't be ignorant that the enemy will try to go witchcraft. So I thought of that phrase, you know, the best me is torment free. And I'll say the best you is through a spiritual breakthrough and breaking through all of the things as it relates to witchcraft. Now, let's get the definition of witchcraft. Witchcraft is simply the exercise or invocation of supernatural powers to control people or events. It is a practice typically involving sorcery or magic, but at the same time, witchcraft could be just simply religious. You could be using religion to try to control people and events, which many cults that we're very, very aware of, they try to do that. And even some people in the name of Christianity are operating in witchcraft. If you're trying to control people to do and manipulate people, you are operating in witchcraft.
You know, five major areas that witchcraft targets us, when you're wondering, like, how does that actually hit me? You know, you're listening to this podcast episode and you're like, how does that affect me? And what does it look like in my daily life? So when you can recognize that there's whispering voices, there are lies that are coming against you in the area of your destiny, your identity, your health, come on, somebody, generational curses, things that have been a pattern in your family line. And you can look at your family line and everyone's dealt with cancer, or everyone's dealt with depression, or everyone's just had a self-worth issue. Everyone's been insecure. Everyone's been comparing to one another, right? Those are demonic assignments. Those are generational curses. Those are witchcraft targets that are against your destiny, your identity, your health, your body. And then the next one would be your judgment. And that's your ability to make clear and precise decisions based on the word of God. So you're walking in confusion. You're walking like in uncertainty, timidity, insecurity, intimidation. Those are areas that would be affected by witchcraft when you can't think clearly. You just have that brain fog. We call it that witchcraft brain fog. And you just can't see through the clouds, so to speak. That's when you know witchcraft is coming against you. And lastly, your emotions. And we all know when someone is struggling with depression or anxiety, or, you know, which it just, my heart just breaks for people struggling with suicide and or personality disorders or bipolar or different things. And I know there's like people could say, Krista, those are, you know, there's some chemical imbalances in those. Okay, you know, let's put that on the table for consideration. But let's also put on the table for consideration that this could be a demonic assignment against you. I'm not here to debate with someone over whether certain conditions are demonically infused or not. But I can say, can we look at both sides of the equation? And can we consider at times that emotional issue you might be going through, a mental issue you might be going through, may not actually be a physical condition. It could perhaps be a demonic influence.
Yeah. And I think what you're saying is it can manifest
yes.
as those things, but it may be rooted in something spiritual.
Yes.
And I love what you said in the five major areas. One of the ones that stuck out to me in this day is your identity. I think
yeah.
the enemy is really going witchcraft on identity. Obviously, we see the whole gender fluidity thing, but just even your identity in terms of understanding who you are in Christ, understanding in the area of confidence, of moving in faith, of your identity as a son and a daughter of the Most High God, and ultimately it's your destiny. Well, anyway, I kind of was praying about this whole deal, and I came across a passage. I just want to share it with you, Keep It 100 Tribe. It's in 2 Kings chapter 3. It's a pretty long chapter, but I'm going to get to the end because it is a biblical example of this whole aspect of going witchcraft on God's people. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 3, starting at verse 26 and 27, it says, when the alliance besieged the Moabite capital of Kir Hareseth, the Moabite king Misha, in desperation, sacrificed his eldest son to the god Shemash. King Mesha offered the crown prince as a burnt offering on top of the city wall. The fury against Israel was great, and they withdrew and returned to their own land. So here's the backdrop of this whole passage. There was a king Ahab. He was a wicked king, but he was a king over God's people. He died. His son, King Jehoram, became king, and there was a Moabite people who were led by King Misha. And so the Moabites saw that there was weak leadership, and a dad died, and it's like, okay, it was administrative change. It's kind of like, you know, in foreign country, they feel like the next president or the next ruler or person in office is soft. Then all of a sudden, they're going to start trying to take land. They're going to start trying to do wars. We've seen that over and over. So the Moabite king perceives there's weak leadership. And so he is rebelling against some agreements that were made with God's people and God's king. And so God's king is like, okay, we're going to have to fight over this. So he goes and he gets an alliance with King Jehoshaphat, who was a king of God's people. There was a difference of Israel and Judah. And then he also got another group to fight with them. So at this point in time, they are going to fight the Moabites. So let's look at it like a coalition of God's people are going to fight the Moabites. And in going to fight them, all of a sudden the Moabites tried to kind of use land maneuvers. They tried to send certain troops. They were unsuccessful. They were getting defeated. And now it gets to this passage right here. And it says that this wicked king Moabite offered his own son as a sacrifice on top of the city wall. That's witchcraft, y'all. We hear stories. I used to work at a Christian school, and it was near the Santa Cruz Mountains. They would always find like sacrifice animal bones and stuff in the mountains. And it's very common with witchcraft and Wiccan to do that kind of stuff. But it's interesting. And sometimes the narrative of scripture doesn't give you all the backdrop. It's kind of puts it out there. And the Bible gives many answers. But at the same time, I think there are times when you have to question not the veracity of scripture, not the legitimacy of scripture, but you have to question to get deeper meaning and to get in dialogue with Holy Spirit. So it says that once this crown prince was offered as a sacrifice, so the king killed his own son to a false god Shemash, which Shemash means destroyer, subduer. You don't have to do a deep typology, recognize this means the devil. So he's offering a sacrifice to their god Shemash, and it says fury went against Israel and they withdrew and returned to their own land. Now there are many thoughts on that. I'll simply throw out this because you just need to know this, that in that confederation of God's people, there was compromise because Ahab's son was in it. So God allowed it because they weren't walking in righteousness. But yet and still, what the scripture is saying is when it was all said and done, when King Misha of the Moabites couldn't find any other way to defeat God's people, he went witchcraft on them.
You know, as you're sharing that, baby, I think of accounts of scripture where a person was attacked or influenced by Satan to do something. And we find find that in each case, Satan attacked them just before they're about to be or do something remarkable.
So true.
Right? We see that again and again. Satan attacked them so fiercely, not because they were failures or because they were weak, but because he saw that they were about to have a great impact for good. So think about it as if we were fighting a war, right? If you and I were generals of a war, where would you focus your attack on, right? You would probably focus on like major bases, places of influence, like military bases, leaders, and the people that are in charge. That's what you would give your attention and focus to if you were fighting a battle. And you would still fight against foot soldiers, yes, but you would reserve more resources for fighting the more advanced and dangerous military units, right? That's what you give your attention to, the units that are truly a threat. And I think we have to recognize that whenever the enemy is attacking you, he has to view you as an actual threat. So it actually should be encouraging, because every time in scripture, like I said, when someone's about to move significantly, when God's about to use them dramatically, when their name might be changed, like one of those name changing moments, the enemy came in fiercely, ferociously, and he's doing the same thing today. It is this exact same scenario. It's the same equation that we read in the Word of God that's happening today. So let the attack prophesy encouragement to you. I know that that sounds funny, but truly, like, you have to look at it as you're a threat to darkness.
I want to underline that. Listeners, when you feel Satan's attack on you, that means you're truly a threat. Now you got to act like it. I think of about a basketball game. And, you know, you think about a basketball game, you know, I love to watch the Warriors and Steph Curry and all that, and they're struggling. Y'all pray for my Warriors. But anyway, you know, if you're on the defense, you're not going to triple team the water boy, right? You're only going to double or triple team the best player. So Steph Curry always gets double teamed, or they'll run up a third person to put him in a trap in the corner. Why? Because, you know, if you have one defender on those top people, they're going to score on you all day and your team is going to lose. So what Satan knows is that he can't beat you. Here's the key: with God's help. The Bible says, if God is for you, who can be against you? And that's part of the reason why he attacks us so hard, is he doesn't want certain things to happen. And so he's going to try to double and triple team you. In other words, he's attacking you because you're a threat, so he can take whatever ground he can get. And so what he does is, at the end of the day, if you operate in the power of the Holy Ghost, which the Greek word for that is dunamis, if you operate in dunamis, you got to know that the enemy is going to go divination on you. In other words, the top shelf the devil could reach at, it's the nuclear power, right? When a nation drops a nuclear bomb, that's going to be the ultimate. Like, we're not just sending little missiles. We're not firing some bullets into an underground thing, dropping a little hand grenade. The ultimate top shelf of the enemy's assault weaponry is divination. And the ultimate top shelf of God's power is dunamis.
You know, when we're talking about this, we always want to give you practical takeaways. That as a Keep 100 listener and the Keep 100 tribe, you can walk away going, you know what? You know, I can apply that. I can walk in that. And so we're asking the question, what causes darkness to designate divination? Number one, if you're taking notes, or if you're just like wanting to remember this, this is a good takeaway for you. And then number one is, when you're seeking to take background. You know, we saw, as Sean read that portion of scripture, and we're talking about the story today, it's like in verse six, it's like God's people were looking to take ground. What do? They go to Elisha and they ask the prophet. They're like, what do we do? And that's the moment where you're like, you're tired of being bullied. You're tired of always retreating. You want to not always be on the defense, and you want to take back your ground. That, in a really practical way, let me bring it to your front door. It's like when you're tired of depression, when you're tired of living in that spiral of complacency or apathy, when you're battling those swirls of anxiety, and you just know you're not living the fullness of who God's called you to be, and you get sick of it. It's when you get sick of something that you're actually going to go and fight against it. It's when you get sick of something that you actually go, you know what? I'm going to go and take back ground, because I'm not experiencing the fullness of what Jesus did on the cross for me. And I want my life to live in a place of the fullness. And I think that's an important takeaway, that you can actually take back ground to be empowered when witchcraft is coming against you. You don't have to accept it. You can actually go on the offense, and you don't have to live in the defense. Number two, darkness designates divination when you begin to tap into the prophetic. You know, God's giving you prophetic words. He's prophesied over your life. He's declared the promises over your life. But when you begin to partner with those words, write them down, stand on them, make room for them, and really begin to contend for those to become your reality, that's often when witchcraft comes against you.
You know, I love these points because they're really straight out of it. 2 Kings chapter 3, gang. When Krista was talking about when you seek to take back ground, that was a time when the alliance of God's people were going after the Moabites and saying, hey, no, y'all not going to rebel. You owe us something, and you're going to definitely pay the thing you owe. And so that starts the sequence. Now, if you go down to verse verse 11 and 12, Krista was telling you that they kind of hit some dry ground. And in the process of hitting dry ground, those guys are going to dehydrate. They're out in the desert. So they go to see the prophet Elijah. So as Krista is saying, they're beginning to tap in the prophetic. And then the prophet Elijah tells them now to begin to dig holes. And so this is number three, what causes darkness to designate divination? In other words, what causes hell to go witchcraft on you is when dry places start turning into water springs. And I'm going to explain. The prophet told him to go dig ditches. And so it's kind of like you're redigging wells. And so when you're in your city or you're in your area or you're in your family, you're trying to tap into the things that God has done in your family line, in your city, in your region, or simply what God has done that you've heard as a testimony, you want to believe it. You start digging. And then the prophet said, as they dug, and even though it didn't seem to make sense, like you guys are dehydrated, why would you want to work out in the hot sun and you already don't have water? But the next morning, it says that the valley was covered with water. So all of a sudden, the enemy goes witchcraft on you because you start getting some flow of the Holy Ghost in your meetings. You start seeing some momentum in your family. You start seeing some prodigals come home. You start getting some authority over some sicknesses. You begin to see some healings. You begin to share your testimony at work. And all of a sudden, this third point again is your dry places turn into water springs. And so in that passage in 2 Kings chapter 3, the very next thing is the enemy gets defeated. The Moabites get defeated in a battle. And then the Bible says in verse 25, which I think is very interesting, this group of God's people, it says they destroyed the towns of their enemy. They threw stones on every good field until it was covered. They stopped up all the springs. In other words, they blocked their wells and what the enemy was trying to spring forth. They cut down all of their good trees. Only Kir herself was left with his stones in place. Men were armed with slings, surrounded it and attacked it. What does that mean for us? Because that's a lot, Sean, right there. And what it simply is God's people got a strategy to defeat the enemy's design. And so that's kind of what causes darkness to designate divination. Number four, when you get strategy to defeat the enemy, when you start getting a prayer time, when you start getting some direction from the Lord, when you start all of a sudden, maybe God gives you a download or you're reading scripture and you go, this is how I can fight that. This is how I can get. And so this is so important. Then finally, number five, what causes darkness to designate divination or go witchcraft on you when you don't buckle or budge to his backlash? And so in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 26, it says, when the king of Moab saw that the battle had gone against him, he took with him several hundred swordsmen to break through the king of Edom, but they failed. So it's almost like when you don't budge or buckle to the enemy's backlash, then the enemy wants to go witchcraft on you.
You know, you might be listening today and going, Krista and Sean, how do I know if witchcraft is coming against you? Here's some simple tell signs where you go, oh, okay, that's witchcraft. Number one, night terrors. If you're having nightmares and dreams that are scary and leave you full of anxiety and fear, if you have sleep paralysis and you're being pinned in your sleep and, you know, you're having like horrible things happen to you in your sleep, that is a sign that witchcraft is coming against you, because our sleep was always intended to be sweet.
Another sign that witchcraft is coming against you is confusion. I think this is one of the major ones. What witchcraft does is when it brings a cloud with it. The Bible talks about that the divination or witches sowed veils. It charts the veil your eyes. It makes it difficult for you to make sound decisions. You begin to forget things. You forget appointments. You forget where you put your keys. You forget what the word of God says. Because witchcraft, at the end of the day, here's what it's after. Witchcraft makes you question yourself. And when the strong confusion hits your mind, you're not even sure where it's coming from. And so when a Christian comes under the assault of witchcraft and curses, they become disoriented and the enemy really wants to cloud your vision. And it's so funny because it affects even your discernment, where you're not able to grasp what's going on around you. And then when that happens, doubts, uncertainty, and chaos are a crowbar that the enemy uses. And at the end of the day, you're stuck in this quagmire of what do I do? What's going on? I don't know. And so it really, at that point in time, it devastates you, stagnates you, and leaves you in a place where you feel like you can't keep up with everything that's going on around you.
You know, another area where you can say and recognize that witchcraft is coming against you is if you're feeling discouraged, depressed, or you're ready to quit. You know, the truth is we all get discouraged from time to time. Sean and I get discouraged at times, but when witchcraft attacks, you just want to throw in the towel. You want to send your resignation letter to God. You want to quit. You want to give up. You want to crawl into bed. You want to pull the covers in over your head. And, you know, in Daniel 7:25, it says the devil comes to wear you out. And yet the Bible commands us to not grow weary in well-doing and promises we will reap a reward and a harvest if we don't give up, which is in Galatians 6:9. So let's be honest. There is a tension. We have to understand that. The devil is trying to steal your harvest, but you cannot let him. And you have to recognize there is a battle over your harvest. When one is targeted by witchcraft, they'll often feel emotionally drained, debilitated, and those that have been the object of spiritual curses will carry a darkness, a cloud in their countenance. And they may even feel in the back of their neck, it's tight, a band of oppression around their head. They'll actually feel a tightness around their head. We often hear people say that before they get set free, and it can manifest as a headache and just a tension headache. And this person might assume they're sick, you know, that it's the flu, but no, it's actually witchcraft. Witchcraft drains the life and the energy right out of you. When you are attacked by witchcraft, you feel tired, depressed, oppressed, and fatigued.
I'd say another indicator that you're coming or witchcraft is coming against you is a loss of spiritual desire. And I've talked to a lot of people recently, and not only do they have a difficulty with prayer and staying connected, you know, to God in that connection, but they seem to even have lost their fire, lost even a desire to stay connected. And if there's a loss of spiritual desire to stay connected to other Christians, this can be witchcraft or maintaining your ministry or your work with God. All of these things, there's loss of desire to stay connected to God, loss of desire to stay connected to the body of Christ, and loss of desire to continually maintain the ministry or work and fulfill the call. These are examples, perhaps, that a spirit of witchcraft is coming against you.
Yeah, another indicator is if you're having feelings of rejection, belonging, and loneliness seem to be really heightened. All of a sudden, those feelings become the forefront of your thought process and your emotional state. You feel no one truly understands you. You don't feel like you belong anywhere. You kind of feel like the outcast. If those are feelings you're experiencing, you're often being targeted by a spirit of witchcraft. Another area we often see is distortion over what you believe, right? There's always a fight over the reality of the word of God and God's character, right? The enemy always wants to distort who God is, his character, and his word. Distortion for us as believers can look like, is Jesus really for me? Is Jesus the only way? These and other confusing thoughts are often spiritual attacks that are rooted in the spirit of witchcraft.
So true. There's so many, but yeah. We're going to give you one more, and it is the obvious, inordinate fears. There's so many phobias, y'all. People invent phobias, right? And I feel like some of these inordinate fears are curses that are being released from witchcraft, which will arouse a number of inordinate fears. It will plague your mind. And all of a sudden, the theater, this is the target of the enemy, is the theater of your imagination is what is being targeted. And obviously, when that happens, when anyone's plagued with fears, they begin to find themselves restless, and it goes after your strength, your energy. And so you get further drained by a lack of rest. And so it's important and vital to note that any of these symptoms may be evident and the cause may not be witchcraft. However, once you ascertain that you're truly fighting witchcraft, a spiritual enemy, victory is near, because recognition begins to lead towards your ignition in fighting what it is that the enemy's tried to put against you.
You know, the enemy always wants to get you to quit, right? Yes. That's his go-to. He wants you to quit. He wants to sideline you. He wants to silence you. The enemy loves to see us succumb to weariness and tiredness and ultimately have us make a decision to tap out, to throw in the towel. But you have to possess your grit, right?
Yes.
There is a spiritual grit that you have to tap into,
so
especially
good.
In these times. We are in a time, friends, where a spiritual grit is a requirement for the believer and the follower of Jesus. You know, the enemy's after your blessing. He knows the Lord promised good plans for you, a future, right? He knows the prophetic words. He's heard the prophetic words. And so when you step into your calling, those blessings are not far away. The enemy wants you to succumb so you never experience the blessing. I want to tell you today, keep pushing, keep fighting, keep praising, keep worshiping, keep reading the word, keep standing on the word, keep leaning in Jesus. It is worth the push, because through the push comes the blessing.
I can't tell you how many times that all of a sudden I feel like, oh man, I can't go on anymore. I just want to quit. I want to give up. And I typically try not to walk out of my front door feeling like I got to get alone with God to get my breakthrough. But I know this, if Satan can get you to give up before you get there, then he blocks your blessings. And then there's something I love to say, there would not be that level level of battle before you if it wasn't that level of breakthrough in front of you. So now we want to conclude with kind of how do I combat the curse of witchcraft? Like, okay, Sean and Krista, you guys have identified some things. I see some things in my life. I see it on some people that I love. How can I combat the curse of witchcraft? First of all, is to understand the Bible says that a curse without cause cannot land. In other words, I think one of the first things you want to do is put on Christ and close every door. Like if there's no cause, in other words, the Jesus said, the enemy of this world is being cast down, but he has no hold on me. You got to make sure that you're closing every door. The enemy doesn't have any hold. But ultimately, hear this, if you don't hear anything else, put on Christ. Put on Christ. What I mean by that is obviously begin to live a life that's sanctified, set apart unto Jesus, a life that prioritizes a relationship with God. Let Jesus's will be your all in all. Live this life in a way that your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. Put on Christ. And as you walk like Christ and close every other door, let me tell you what, I believe that you have struck one of the major blows to the vitals of a spirit of witchcraft.
You know, when we put on the mantle of praise for the spirit of heaviness, there is something about when you shift what you are speaking, what you're declaring, what you're meditating on, and you anchor yourself in a posture of praise and gratitude, it will literally break off discouragement, heaviness, and you will feel a joy, you know, fill you once again. And I think this is something that is often underestimated, so is true. The power of praise and gratitude, and it will combat the curse of witchcraft because the demonic, the enemy hates praise. He hates worship. He hates adoration for the Lord. And so when you come in with the opposite spirit of what's coming against you, and you're like, I'm praising, I will praise myself till I get the breakthrough. I will praise until that spirit of heaviness is broken off of me. The power of praise, it changes atmospheres, and it's exactly what will combat the spirit of witchcraft.
You know, it's so true. Some people, you know, just kind of throw this out there as they're being attacked at night. I've heard so many people say, you know what? I just begin to play some worship music in my room. I just begin to, in my car, just different times or even different meetings we've been at, some of the most profound deliverances take place while the worship team is entered back into worship. People are hitting the altar. And all of a sudden, as you lift up that worship, it breaks that spirit. So that's so true. I say the next thing, number three, in terms of how to combat the curse of witchcraft, is scripture is pretty clear. Like, perfect love casts out fear, y'all.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, you love Jesus, but maybe even a step before that, understand you're perfectly loved even in your imperfection. Like, I think sometimes we don't allow God to love us because we don't think we're worthy. And the moment you do that, unworthiness becomes this catch-all net for anything the enemy throws your way, particularly a spirit of witchcraft, because witchcraft really comes on the basis of a lot of rejection. And so scripture says perfect love casts out fear. So love God, know that you're perfectly loved, but share that love with others. Don't get offended. When people get bitter, offended, there are a lot of people that are in Wiccan and witchcraft because they got hurt. They got wounded and they never got out of that. And our hearts go out to them. We pray because, hey, we just know that Jesus has love for them and he wants to introduce them to the thing that their heart has always longed for. And it's not a potion. It's not control of other people. It's surrendering to God and feeling that perfect love. So remember, perfect love casts out fear. If you've got some fear on you, understand, meditate on the passages of scripture that you are loved by God.
You know, another way to combat the curse of witchcraft is to stand on the word of God and proclaim God's promises over your life. And when we understand the authority of God, which is really tied into what Sean even just was talking about a moment ago, and when we stand on the authority of Christ and we stand on the sovereignty of God and his supreme authority, the enemy has to bow its knee. And so when you stand on that word, I remember as a pastor up in Oregon, I would at times have witches and warlocks come to my service. And I would know that when there was a witch or a warlock was in the service, because there would be this confusion, there would be all the symptoms of witchcraft, many of which we've talked about today. And the Lord gave me strategy. He said, get up there before you preach the word and declare who I am, declare my authority. Every time I did that, the witches and the warlocks would get up and leave the services. They could not stay where the authority of Christ was established. And so the power of standing on God's promises, get the word of God out, write down what God has said over you, the promises of God, who he is, because it cannot be, it can't be combated by the enemy. The enemy has to bow. The enemy must flee. And so when we know who God is, it establishes us and it anchors us in truth and righteousness and the blessings of God. Therefore, we have a confidence. Therefore, we walk in peace. Therefore, we walk in a rest and an assurance of God's goodness and faithfulness will follow us all the days of our lives, because because God's word says so. So when the enemy comes knocking at your door, you don't even have to answer it because you're standing on God's word. That's how you break the curse of witchcraft. You don't come under the lies of the enemy. You stand on God's word.
So good. So good. And I would just add too, sometimes when that curse of witchcraft starts touching your life, it is a signal that it's time to upgrade your devotions.
That's good.
Upgrade your devotional life. Upgrade your time alone with God, waiting on the Lord. Your time that you just spend talking to God in prayer, waiting and hearing and getting downloads. And I'd also say not only upgrade your devotion, upgrade your support team. You need a consecrated crew, right?
Yeah.
You need some folks that's going to lay hands, pray for you, fast, believe, people that will give you some wisdom. When you're battling witchcraft, you don't want to be with a compromised crew. You want to be a consecrated crew because a compromised crew will carry you to some sort of means to temporary escape. But in fact, you can't temporarily escape witchcraft. But a consecrated crew, they will carry you to your deliverance. They're like the four guys that lowered their friend through the roof to Jesus. That dude had four great friends. And what they did is they carried their friend to their deliverance. And so even in this episode, maybe some of you have been battling witchcraft. And Krista, maybe you could just pray over people that maybe feel that battle and something that's going on in just a way that could just break off something over them. And we just want to agree with you that are listening right now. I don't know if you're driving, you just keep driving, but if you can, and you can get alone right now, put your hand on your heart, just close your eyes and just connect with the Lord. And we just want to agree with you right now that the enemy's attack of witchcraft would be broken off of you.
Lord, we thank you that as people are listening to this episode, they are getting free, they are getting delivered, they're getting empowered, and they're getting strategy on how to combat any weapon from darkness that has come against them. Lord, I thank you that in your word, it says no weapon that's formed can come against us. There is nothing that the enemy can do that can hit us because we're covered by the blood of Jesus. So right now, I declare the blood of Jesus to cover every listener right now, and we break the spirit of witchcraft, and we thank you, God, that all symptoms of witchcraft are broken. Complacency is broken, apathy is broken, depression, confusion, night terrors, Lord, distortion, anything that has not been in alignment with your word, not only is it exposed right now, it's decimated at its root, never to return. Lord, we thank you that the spirit of witchcraft is leaving and the spirit of God is remaining. And we call forth the spirit of God within every listener to arise, and that the voice of God is what they hear, and the voice of the enemy is silenced once and for all. And we declare truth over every person that they are wonderfully and perfectly made. They have a plan and they have a purpose. They are not an accident, but God, you have great things in store for them. And their promise is hope. Their promise and inheritance is peace. And their promise is the goodness and the faithfulness of God that will mark their lives in Jesus' name.
Wow, that's powerful. Hey, Keep 100 Tribe, Krista and I, obviously we travel, we get around. We're always hearing updates and praise reports from different ones that's listening to the podcast. Hey, if you haven't already, go to our website, www.shaunakristasmith.com. You can check our calendar. We travel a lot, so we could very easily be coming to your town or a place near you. And also we do monthly gatherings called Momentum Nights. We've had people fly in actually pretty much every single Momentum Night and are just profound. One, this last one, we had a gal fly in from Indiana for the meeting, got a breakthrough, got a prophetic word, got back on an early flight to fly back to Indiana, blessed. And so come out and join us.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Keep It 100 podcast. Make sure to rate, review, and refer us to your friends. And be sure to click that subscribe button so that you're alerted as soon as new episodes drop. Help us get the word out. Share this link on your social media platforms and check us out at shaunandkristasmith.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Shaun and Krista Smith Ministries. We would love to hear from you on how this podcast has impacted you. So be sure to show us some love.
Hey, Keep It 100 Tribe, join us on our next episode. And remember, relief may change your circumstance, but a revelation will change you.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Keep It 100 podcast with Shaun and Krista Smith. Keep up with us on Facebook and Instagram and shaunandkristasmith.com, where you can discover more resources. If this podcast has impacted you, please subscribe and review wherever you listen to your podcast. Keep It 100!